Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
This is part 59, and I'm continuing in this series, but we've been looking at the ghost of liberalism present, as I've referred to it. And also a little bit of information on the Shaq movie, and then others who are denying the essential biblical doctrine of Christ's penal substitutionary atonement, of which the author of the Shaq and many of the so-called emergent church leaders have been in denial about, or let's just say they're heretical about. Let's cut to the chase here. Last week, I was commenting on Michael Gunger's of the band Gunger, his public statements against the essential doctrine of the substitutionary atonement. This article from Pulpit and Pen website says Michael Gunger slams substitutionary atonement, calls it murder and evil, and it says that he's a musician in the contemporary Christian music band Gungor. He has been noted for denying the Genesis account and working with Rob Bell. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about Rob Bell a little later. Recently, he has made statements on his Twitter account attacking penal substitutionary atonement, the belief that Jesus died on the cross in our place. Now, I had read some or a lot of that article recently to you. And I left off last week sharing about Michael's father, Ed Gungor. And I don't know, only those of you who are ancient out there in my listening audience will remember the serials they used to call them, where you would go to the movies and they would always leave you in a cliffhanger scene so that you'd want to come back next week to the movie theater and see the next installment of this series. And they call those serials. And anyway, that's how I kind of left you last week with, the cliffhanging situation as I begin to talk about Michael's father, Ed Gunger, who was an author and a pastor in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where I lived for several years, and who wrote the book, There Is More to the Secret. He pastored the People's Church, which was actually about a half a mile from where I was living at the time, and that church was later named the Sanctuary Church. He is still associated with Sanctuary Church, as I noticed on his website, though he is now living with his wife in New York City. I suspected that he wrote his book to piggyback on the success of The Secret. He wrote this, There's More to a Secret, More to the Secret, I think around 2007. And just to refresh your memory, the Secret, or if you didn't know, The Secret was a neo-Gnostic New Thought book / DVD, which has been promoted by Oprah, and whose law of attraction principle is sort of a pagan version of word, faith, prosperity doctrine that you hear in a similar ideas and some of the word faith heretics today. Now, The Secret came forth from a lady named Rhonda Byrne, an Australian woman, but as I mentioned before, actually the book probably came from a channeler, a New Age channeler by the name of Esther Hicks. Her and her husband Jerry Hicks have a series of books. I think the first one was called Ask and It Is Given, and basically it's the teachings of their spirit guide, Abraham. And I just remember, that there was some controversy about The Secret, that actually it was probably stolen, plagiarized, or what have you from Esther Hicks. But there again, I just remember that in the back of my mind. I don't know whatever came of that, if there was any lawsuits or whatever, so I'll just leave it at that. Anyway, another author in the Tulsa area had written a similar book, and that's what also made me think, it seems like, and it was interesting, there were two different guys in Tulsa that were writing a book sort of in response to this book, The Secret. And anyway, this author's name was Ron McIntosh. Says in this article, he has joined a growing number of Christian writers to respond to The Secret. McIntosh will sign his book, The Greatest Secret, at such and such date and location. It says he is executive director of Victory Bible Institute in Tulsa, former campus pastor at Oral Roberts University, and president of Ron McIntosh Ministries and Impact, a leadership and church coaching ministry. Now, Victory Bible Institute, it's probably associated with Victory Church, which is right across from Oral Roberts University, and the former pastor who passed away was kind of one of Oral Roberts' lieutenants, let's say, and I won't say much more about him. He used to host a big thing called The Word Aflame, which brought in all kinds of word faith, heretical teachers and such, big names, some of which I'm sure many of you would know. But anyway, so that's, I believe, the roots of this ministry, the Victory Bible Institute in Tulsa, especially since he was this man, McIntosh, was a former campus pastor at Oral Roberts. Anyway, McIntosh said the central principle of Burns' The Secret, called the Law of Attraction, did not originate in philosophy, but in theology. You know, hence the word faith, prosperity connection, folks. This is typical of many successful principles that are actually biblically based. He said, the world has gravitated to the success of these ideas, but tweaked them slightly to remove any religious element. His book describes what he calls God's law of attraction and addresses issues such as transforming a personal belief system, getting rid of negative filtering, and achieving the place of significance for true fulfillment in life. So this was another book that was written concerning The Secret. Now, I had the opportunity to visit Ed Gunger's church, Michael Gunger's father, but wasn't able to really quiz the elder Gunger about his book, and I actually have never read the book. So I want to be as fair as possible here. I did obtain the release statement from his publisher, Thomas Nelson, and I also have got a review. There were many reviews. I got a review from the Amazon.com from someone who had read the book and commented on it. So I want to read those comments to you. The Thomas Nelson introduction to the book says, "Is it possible to believe in God, both God and the law of attraction? Isn't this all just some New Age power of the mind thing? If the law of attraction works, why isn't it in the Bible? Or is it?" Questions like these are being asked by people around the world after reading the best-selling book, The Secret. According to the law of attraction, you can have virtually anything desired if your mind is trained to put out continual thoughts to attract it into your life. In this deeply compelling work, Ed Gunger seeks to establish a more complete and accurate representation of the power of the mind by explaining the role that God plays in the equation. This book is not written to attack, but rather to examine what the author believes is misguided advice while still speaking to the heartfelt need that is causing so many to explore this ancient practice. Some of his views may surprise you. There is more to the story that must be told. Now, I would make one comment, and I would say there wouldn't be anything wrong with attacking The Secret. It is from the pit of hell. So, but these people, this Thomas Nelson Publishing Company, wanted you to know that this book is not written to attack. Okay? So that's, I think, interesting. Anyway, here's one of the reviews of a reader. One of the most popular recent nonfiction books in the United States is Rhonda Byrne's The Secret, which argues that a natural law, the law of attraction, is the secret to a happy and prosperous life. The latest work by Ed Gunger, There Is More to The Secret, examines the secret and the law of attraction from a Christian perspective. Gunger defines the law of attraction as everything coming into your life as the result of what you have been attracting to your life, not just in positive things, but negative ones as well. It is at minimum a rejection of the idea that one's destiny is predestinated or is in the hands of fate. The Secret seeks to take this law and apply it to everyday life. The Secret is certainly an idea that can take some things on a secular sort of faith, and one might well expect Gungor, a Christian minister in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to have some issues with the idea of the secret, and he makes very clear from the beginning that he is skeptical of some aspects of the secret theory, and particularly in how people apply it. Some recent books analyzing books or movies from a Christian perspective make an all-out attack on their subjects, as is the case with several Christian books that are fiercely critical of Dan Brown's The Da Vinci Code. But while Gungor is skeptical of some elements of the law of attraction, he undoubtedly surprises some of his readers by arguing not only that there is something to the law of attraction, and therefore the secret, but that it is compatible with Christian belief. Indeed, Gungor, whose command of both the Bible and of popular culture is very strong, makes the argument that the law of attraction is reflected in multiple cases in the Bible. Gungor exhorts his Christian audience to use the secret for good, to produce positive changes and to free oneself from fatalistic inertia. He ends the book with a call to readers to use the secret, but to see the benefits of a conscience about one's actions, bring oneself closer to an acceptance of the will of God and to follow Jesus. It is precisely because Gungor believes there is something to the secret that his key line of attack on the idea as articulated by Byrne isn't that there is no such thing, but that it does not go far enough and leaved out the hand of God in these matters. This is much of why the book is titled There Is More to the Secret. Gungor rightly fears that people will use the secret for selfish purposes without considering how to use it in line with God's will for his people. This man goes on to say, this reviewer says, while I agree with the Reverend Gungor that what one believes and does affects how things turn out in one's life and in the world, I am not completely convinced by Gungor's argument on behalf of the existence of the law of attraction, even as I agree with how he uses his understanding of it to fine-tune the arguments of the secret. However, his work has moved me to consider its possible applications on my own Christian journey. With the widespread popularity of the secret, Gungor's work deserves a wide audience, and readers of There Is More to the Secret are likely to find Gungor's arguments well attractive. And that's what's kind of scary. But anyway, this is the father of Michael Gungor, who has written this book, among other things. And I just wanted to bring that to your attention. I don't know if the father Ed holds to his son Michael's heretical views about the atonement, or some of his other errant views, but I do know that Gungor will be playing a concert, the younger Gungor, there you go, Michael Gungor's and his band Gungor will be playing a concert at Sanctuary Church, which is Ed's old church, for Easter, coming right up, in other words. Now, a couple of years ago, the charismatic progressive magazine Relevant, supposedly Christian magazine, had an article titled, Why Are People So Upset About What Gungor Said?, in which they seem to defend him for not believing in a literal Genesis. And in this article, it says, like a lot of controversies involving statements made by Christian leaders, a larger context is ignored in favor of sensational quotes. It's the sort of thing that happens within Christianity. This particular instance feels similar to many of the other great Christian controversies of the past 15 years. Rob Bell with Love Wins. And I'll just stop right there. And let me just say, Relevant magazine is also fond of the heretic Rob Bell and his universalism. But this older article was saying at the time, why are people so upset about what Gungor said? And this was before, of course, he came out against the substitutionary atonement essential doctrine of our faith. So, very interesting development there. And I don't know, as I said, if the father shares the same view. I really don't know at this point in time. One other thing that I did want to share. Let me just say that in that article that I just quoted from there, they seem to defend him for not believing in a literal Genesis. And I already read from the article, actually let me read a little bit more. It says, ironically, the statements were made as an anecdotal point in a long post about why we should be very slow to judge people for their beliefs. He went on to say, I must remember that the people that believe in a literal Genesis have no more ability to not believe it than I do to believe it. And then he goes, and then I went on with the rest of the quote about controversies. of course, you know, he has trended more heretical since that article. And in fact, in the January-February 2017 issue of Relevant, in the article Gungor, there's kind of what I would refer to as kind of a sob story puff piece that reminded me of another sob story puff piece that they wrote about another of what I would say their favorite heretics, Rob Noel Bell, entitled Through Hell and Back, which is probably so titled in reference to Bell's false views of hell. I think both of these Relevant articles sought to minimize the downward slide of both of these deceived men. Now, maybe now Relevant magazine understands why people were so upset about Gungor's statements, but I doubt it, because I've kind of tracked their magazine and I keep up with a lot of what's going on in it. And truly, I think it is probably about the worst so-called Christian magazine you could find, because the publisher is the son of Steve Strang, however you say his name. And I don't have his name in front of me. I thought I did. But anyway, it's interesting because his father is the publisher of Charisma magazine, which Richard Fisher referred to as the Christian Mad magazine, and rightly so, I think, in much of their articles and content. But I think Relevant is like, you know, this is the son of the publisher of that magazine, and he has combined really sort of a combination of Charisma and Sojourners, you know, which is a far left magazine of Jim Wallace, who we've talked about before. And I think that as a result, you have really a very dangerous magazine there that's leading a lot of young people away from the truth. Now, a couple more. Well, actually, it's one of the magazines that I plan on exposing in a future podcast that is helping to bring deception in these last days to many of our young people. Now, I have a couple more thoughts about this popular heresy of the denial of the atonement. I heard a guy on the radio just the other day. I just got in the car, turned it on, and then I caught just some sound bites from this gentleman. And he was saying that, you know, for some who have had perhaps a bad relationship with their earthly father, they've had a hard time realizing their heavenly father's love. And so that the idea that God the Father, you know, killed his own son, Jesus Christ, is repulsive to them. You know, that, wow, this is, man, you know, how could a father do that? That's, like I said, Gungor's article referred to the substitutionary atonement as murder and evil. So, anyway, this man, I didn't hear the whole context of what he was speaking, but I kind of assumed he was probably talking about the shack, since the author of that magazine went through a lot of strange things on the mission field in Papua New Guinea, I believe it was. You know, I don't remember his whole story, but in other words, the idea is Mr. Young, who wrote the shack, of course, does not hold to the penal substitutionary atonement essential doctrine of the faith. And I think he probably had him in mind, since the Shaq movie just came out and you know, the developments with that, the popularity of the book, the Shaq, and the movie now. Well, I assume the movie's popular. I hope not, but I know there's been a lot of fanfare and also a lot of criticism, which is great. A lot of good people, and I've shared some of the articles and information for you about the Shaq. But anyway, this man's answer, I think, if I remember correctly, the man that I heard talking about, for those who had this, you know, had a bad relationship with the earthly father, etc., and how hard it is to imagine the God the Father killing his son, even if it was for us, his answer, I think, was along the lines that, you know, God the Son was not killed by his father's impulsive, you know, murderous act of child abuse, but rather that Jesus was fully accepting of the action of the father as the only way that acceptable sacrifice could be made or achieved for all of us, for mankind. You know, Jesus himself said, the famous verse, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And some of the same people, like the author of The Shack and the emergent church leaders, would say that that's an exclusivistic view, you know, that we need a more inclusive gospel and that many paths can lead to God, etc., which, of course, is from the pit of hell, those type of ideas, because Jesus couldn't have made it any clearer, any plainer, when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Now, the Father, he gave his only Son, and the Son gave his only life, you know, for us, so to speak. Jesus did pray in the garden, you know, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said, you know, Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass, you know, be passed from me. In other words, if there's any other way you can achieve salvation for mankind other than me going through this painful, difficult experience of crucifixion and death, you know, let this cup pass and we can go with another plan. But Jesus, you know, having prayed that prayer in his pain and agony, you know, he wasn't surprised. In other words, we know all along from the Gospels that Jesus knew what was to be his fate on earth on behalf of all of us, and that he needed to take the punishment upon himself. The Father had to inflict this punishment upon him for our sake, because he was the only acceptable sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God who takes takes away the sins of the world, according to John the Baptist, who was the forerunner, of course, to Jesus the Messiah. Now, and I would add, what about martyrdom? You know, martyrdom is not necessarily a pleasant thing, is it? I don't know of too many Christians that want to line up and go out to enjoy the benefits of being martyred for their faith and dying a painful death for Jesus Christ and his gospel. And yet, throughout church history, we have many examples of those who have been martyred. I think it's been said that in the 20th century, there were more Christians that were put to death for their faith than in any other century in church history. So here's something, you know, how about all these people who have died for Christ? Are we going to, you know, many have chosen to die for Christ in the gospel by their own choice. Is this also child abuse by our Heavenly Father? We may not desire it, but shouldn't our own free will decision be not my will, but yours be done? Like I say, I'm not getting in line and saying, hey, take me, I want to go right away here and be martyred. But I pray that I would have the strength to accept that fate of martyrdom, to die for the Lord, if I was called upon to do that. And so I think that we may not desire it, but our free will decision should be that. And if we're martyred, it would also be, in our case, of course, we're not dying for anybody else's sins, but we would be dying as a result of the anger and the hatred of Satan and his children, you know, the children of the devil, who would be persecuting us to that extent. But, you know, to a carnal-minded person or an heretical-type person, I'm sure this would seem to be an evil position, just as much as they would think it's an evil thing. It's murder and evil, as Michael Gunger would say, for God to have put this burden on his Son and had Christ die in our place, put his own Son to death, as it were, because we know that is what happened. And thank God it happened, because there was no other way for us to be saved. It may seem to be an evil position to these folks, but nevertheless, it is the biblical position. It is an essential doctrine of our faith, and we need to understand that it is heavily under attack at this point in time. in many quarters of so-called Christianity, of what I, of course, a liberal Christianity, and that's what my series is all about, is liberalism. We need to understand that these are the type of things that are taking place. Now, I didn't have time to launch into. I've already mentioned the articles. There was another article also about Rob Bell in another relevant magazine called The Return of Rob Bell. Can the polarizing author and former pastor make the jump to TV? So, you know, it's still on with Rob. He's still out there, and they're fully supporting him over there at Relevant Magazine. Of course, he was on Oprah as well, along with a few other shameless so-called Christian pastors. But anyway, I didn't have time to launch into the next of what I call my Christian public service announcement. That's what the information I gave on one of the podcasts about the Shack was really what I was calling a Christian public service announcement concerning that movie, The Shack. And I had planned on really doing a heads up on two other movies, but it didn't work out that way because I found the information on Mr. Gunger, Michael Gunger, and I felt like I should bring that to your attention. So next week I want to continue. You know, we're still basically going in this series of liberalism, but I'm taking a little not a segue, but I'm I'm stepping aside in next week's podcast to speak about a couple of movies I think you know need to know something about. One which I have seen, and one which I have found out quite a bit about. And with the time, since I have a little time left, I will at least put my foot in the door and tell you the names of those. One is called Hacksaw Ridge, which is a patriotic movie about a war hero. And the hero of that movie was a Seventh-day Adventist, or is, I don't know if he's still alive. The other movie is called The Arrival, which is an alien, an ET UFO type movie. And those are pretty two worlds apart type movies. But anyway, I'll get into more detail next week about both of those movies, and then we'll see where we go from there.